Welcome back to Binary Jazz. It is a show that is a podcast. It is a podcast that is a show. I don't know what I'm saying. And I'm joined, as I am every week, by my friends Binary Gary, who is a professional dad today, full-time, all the time. And Allison, who is not a professional, she's an amateur coffee drinker. Also all day, all the time. I would like to start by doing something different today. I would like to take it down a notch. Because we have some listener questions and they're excellent. But one of them comes from usually on Binary Jazz, when we have listener questions, we don't reveal the email address of the person submitting the questions because that would be rude. And we don't do anything with their email addresses. We're not going to like sell them or, you know, spam you or stalk you or anything. But it's okay. You can give us any email address, including a fake email address. So one of our questions is from Fakey McFakerson. And the email address
is that a real name?
Yes, Fakey. Okay. My friend Fakey from high school. The email address is I listen all the time at binaryjazzforever.club. And
you didn't have that domain, did you?
Well, you know what? I kind of think that we should, now that somebody has the email address. Binaryjazzforever.club seems to be something we should have.
A Hotmail type service where you can get your own like vanity email address?
I don't know. Maybe that's
okay.
I don't know. Welcome you guys. It's been a while.
It's been a week.
It's been a while.
As far as our listeners are concerned, but it's been a while for us. Yeah.
It's been a while for us.
Yeah. I've missed you all. It's good to see you.
I went on a lake and I didn't fall in, so that was good.
Did you like use some kind of flotation device? I'm a little confused here.
Yes, okay. I did.
That makes it a lot easier to go on a lake, doesn't it?
It's true. Yeah. Although I did have a moment where I was the first time I went back out on a lake after having fallen in when I was in Denver, and I was in an inflatable kayak and I'm in the lake and I'm like, oh my god, it's so big. I have no idea how deep this is. I'm totally going to drown. But I didn't. Well,
fortunately, no methane clouds to disturb your boating or
no
weird currents.
No Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, no Bermuda Triangle.
Or any kind of triangle, really.
I thought that you're referring into like lakes and not like the ocean.
Yeah.
That's a whole different
thing
to tackle later on.
Mm-hmm. So did you do paddleboarding or you went kayaking?
We have an inflatable kayak that we got recently. We also have an inflatable paddleboard that was my birthday present to Aaron last year that I didn't actually get until this year.
You said inflatable paddleboard?
Yeah.
How do you like that?
It drags a little bit, she said.
Okay.
It's not as maneuverable as the rigid ones, but the one that we got is fairly good. It's pretty solid. I mean, it's not like a kayak, an inflatable kayak, just one piece. It's actually pretty rigid, but it's a lot thicker and yeah, it's not quite as maneuverable. It was sort of a tough test too, because there's a lot of there's wind, so there's a little bit of current in the lake, and there are other boats, so it was a little bit of a tough test. It would still need to be like pretty ideal conditions, we thought, for it to be something that you could actually stand up on easily.
So I think I derailed. Where were you going with Fakey McFakerson?
I just wanted to call attention to the name and the email address, honestly. Like, well, we'll get to Fakey's question later, but
well, that seems optimistic, but okay.
But I really just wanted to talk about the Binary Jazz Forever at .club. I listen all the time at Binary Jazz Forever .club. Honestly, the fact that anybody would even create a fake email address that says that they listen all the time and Binary Jazz Forever shows us that we're, I don't know, we have at least one, well, more than one, because we have our one fan on the show. So we have at least two people that actually listen.
I know.
Do we?
This fakey is going to surpass me.
I mean, maybe
do we know that Allison is not actually fakey, though?
Well, Allison, when she submits questions, she puts her own name. So
I'm stupidly honest. It didn't actually my creativity, I guess, is lacking. It didn't even occur to me to go as fakey McBakerson.
Okay. It doesn't seem really natural, does it?
I mean, I think that, like, going with tradition, if we do really have a lifetime fan, then we should probably invite Fakey McBakerson on the show. So if you're out there, Fakey,
well, send him an email.
And you would like to appear on Binary Jazz, you can send us an email, not at a domain that doesn't exist.
Maybe the challenge.
You can send it there. You won't read it.
Yeah, the challenge. The challenge is if they buy the domain, set up that actual email.
It's true. Well, if they buy the domain, then
they scooped us.
Props, yeah, it's true. And props to them for that's an investment now into the future of Binary Jazz.
It's a commitment level that I don't even know if we have.
Yeah.
So to that end, a year ago, the genesis of this entire operation was born. You realize that?
Mm-hmm.
You do realize that?
I do, because I was looking at, I was doing a domain transfer of my main domain, jazzsequence.com, and I was looking at all of our other domains, and it's in Binary Jazz renews in December.
So we, back in August of last year, you posted on Twitter something about explosions in the sky. Oh, is there anything better than explosions in the sky? And I said, it makes for a bad Pandora station. And you said, I think you meant great or something. And that turned into like a 15 or 20 or more thread conversation on Twitter. Mm-hmm. The worst place for conversations to take place, but naturally where we would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the original genesis, I think that there was going to be a topic we debated it, and you threatened to flip me over. So,
well, yeah. And that's the thing is that you two don't argue nearly as much as I anticipated.
We'll get on that.
That's just because when Gary says something I don't agree with, I just shut him down.
Yeah, it's just like, no.
No.
And then it's
full stop right there.
I need to bring more divisive topics to the table and less unknowns and more just like heated. No, I don't actually want to do that.
Yeah.
And on that note, what is our topic today?
The bottom of Allison's coffee mug. That was some rude timing, Chris.
Yes, well, I did it intentionally.
It's my own fault for bringing beverages. The topic for this week is apprecation.
What?
Apprecation.
Apprecation. Is this one that you expect us to know?
No, not at all.
Okay. Cool. Well, congratulations.
Or to apprecate, if that helps you.
So that is a thing.
I filled out,
filled out the application.
Half dozen applications when I was looking to move to development.
Yeah, and my dad told me to appry myself. and I still don't feel like I have enough application to my projects. An application is a software program. You know, I double click on the application, mm-hmm. and then it opens.
Does it have anything to do with apricots? I really wanted to.
Yeah, where else are you going to keep your inventory of produce?
A produce inventory.
App.
system. Yeah.
It is a bootleg store you can install on your iPhone.
Just sell fruit.
The application store. Yeah.
The applications.
Well, no, if apricate is a thing.
Well, that's when you're creating a new app for the application store.
You apricate the app.
Yeah.
I mean, if apricate was not a thing, then application would be a range of mountains that is not quite as impressive as the Appalachians.
Oh, it's like the little sibling.
The smaller version, the apprecation mountain range.
Well, you're picking the little Smokies.
The little Smokies.
Which is also those tiny sausages you get in a can.
More like the foothills.
Yeah.
The foothills of the applications. Where it's more just like little molehills that you can kind of no higher than like 3 feet.
There is a hill in Florida that they call a mountain. I think it's Sugarloaf Mountain. I might be wrong on that. I think the elevation is 350 feet above sea level.
Wow. I don't, not even a hill.
It's pretty stunning. It's in the center of the state. It's near Claremont. It's pretty fantastic. I may have the name wrong, but it's pretty fantastic.
It's
a heck of a view. You can see an entire county away.
I feel like to climb to the peak of that would really be a whole weekend outing. Like you'd want to bring some snacks, some water, maybe a camelback of water just in case.
Alligator repellent.
I'm the funny thing is like I'm saying all this and like it probably is like quite lovely. It's probably like quite like a lovely little jaunt.
I don't know how long it takes to climb to the peak.
The peak. The mount.
Yeah.
Is it like mountainy or is it really just like a grassy hill?
It's a grassy hill. Oh, sorry. I didn't surprise you there. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's like every, like, hill in Florida. Like, it's kind of rolling, and if it were in any other state, it would be, it's pretty flat here.
You're like, I think there's a slight incline. Did anybody else notice that?
So this is the kind of flatlander I am. You know, like, when elevation changes and your ears pop? I get that on bridges in Jacksonville that tower dozens of feet above sea level.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It's like coming over the bridge. Wow, my ears popped.
That's amazing.
A little embarrassing.
What happens when you're in an airplane? Do you just not deal with airplanes?
No, I don't. I mean, they pop more. That's all.
You get into the plane and the plane moves 5 feet.
My head expands like a balloon in a vacuum until it explodes.
Yes.
Well, he's not properly apricated.
Yeah, that's true. He hasn't apricated himself before the flight.
Apricate is a rural Italian stringed instrument.
That would be an apricate.
No, we thought we covered that. That's a program to keep track of your produce.
Why did I take a sip of coffee? I should have seen it coming from the hand gesture.
And that is why you're an amateur.
I'm new. It's like I'm new here.
It's true that you wouldn't pronounce in Italian. You wouldn't pronounce it apricate.
No.
What
I think when Gary paces, the creative juices flow more.
It's possible, yeah.
Her creative juices are always flowing.
As well as other juices.
As well as
yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say that.
Come on, it's a baby.
You can't see the spit up I'm wearing at the moment, but no. As I was putting her in here, I'm like, oh, do I have time to change before this show?
Little bundle of liquid.
Yeah. Well, and she's eating solid food. We're not going to go there. Starting some solid foods. So it's not all liquid.
Was avocado her solid food?
Because avocado was.
Because she apricated before the show.
Yeah, avocado was. She really likes peas, which is awesome. Sweet potato, Erwin.
Some classics.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything about what they will like when they're old enough to have.
Not problems. At all. Nope, not at all.
But I do stand by the avocado as a strong start, though, in the right direction.
I agree.
Sweet potato.
Application has something to do with the passage of time, and
does it, or just you pondering it has to do with the passage of time?
Well, not both.
As we're applicating now, and time is passing.
Are we applicating though? I don't know if we've established that. We may be embarrassed when we find out we've been applicating all episode. Like, don't publish this one. That's disgusting.
We were abrogating the whole time and nobody told us.
Your dirtness is showing.
Your friend just said it.
Well, let's go to the well, Chris.
Oh, well.
What are some... Yeah, oh, well. So, there seems to be a common theme of pirates in this series.
Okay, yeah.
Meat products.
Uh-huh.
What else are there?
You could apricate your meat. It's a particular curing process. The application process.
You know what this show's going to accomplish? I'm going to become a vegetarian.
And then our mission will...
Our series
will be over. That's it, yeah.
Because all vegans, like, our secret mission is to get all meat eaters to switch to veganism. That's our mission. It's like communism. Like, the more time you spend around us, the more vegetarian you will become until it is a full takeover.
I'm ambivalent about meat. Like, I don't have to have meat at every meal. It's just like, you know, some meals are great. Vegetarian. Sometimes I want a hamburger. Sometimes I want a Dyson sphere. You know?
No.
What are you going to do?
I don't.
No, I've never wanted a Dyson sphere, actually.
It's funny, because Dyson sphere will appears in the questions as well.
Mm. It comes up so often.
Yeah.
You can't help but think about it.
I only think about it while we're recording.
So the other things in the binary jazz will, I think, are space. So
it's really big.
Yeah, it is really big.
It's really big.
Somewhat bigger than the ocean.
I was trying to explain to someone again what the podcast was about, and I was like, well, we hit on like similar topics, you know, occasionally. Like, I was like, we've decided some things, like space is really big, and, you know, we've come to some conclusions.
you've both read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Douglas Adams describes space in the beginning. Oh, it's just so good.
Really big. It's so incredible.
Like, you think a walk to your local, like, chemist is a long way, but wait until you see space. It's so good. I need to read that after we finish this episode, just to remind myself how big space is.
That's true.
We haven't had any launches in a while, and it looks like there's not anything major coming up for rocket launches. It's just timing. But although I should say, like, the last big one we had was the Parker Solar Probe, which, outside of the launch, just amazing in general that Dr. Parker was there, who, you know, got to see the satellite image and launch, and we're going to explore the sun.
Yeah, because he came up with the idea, like, I don't know, forever ago, and it never was a...
Decades.
Yeah,
very awesome. Excited for him. And all the other folks involved in the process.
I love when they show like footage of the people watching and cheering. It's like, it's such good. Oh, I don't know.
It's watching launches. I get the same feeling I get like when I've been really excited about a sports team and they win. But there's like no like losers, you know? So.
And there's
a millennial thing to say.
Less Gatorade being poured over people.
I don't know if that's true.
There's always losers. If we've learned anything from our president, there's always losers and haters.
Losers.
And they're always going to lose and always going to hate, apparently.
They can do it over there out of the
off camera.
Yeah, they can do it off camera.
They can advocate to themselves.
My favorite picture of Mike Pence is when he visited Kennedy Space Center, and there's a big sign on a satellite that says, "Do not touch," and he's got his hand right on it.
Yeah.
Like, have you seen that photo, right?
Yep.
I don't.
Oh, that's... That's classic.
Think about that DNA heading up, and that's like what future species will know about us. that satellite is. Well,
not if we
I'm thinking about abrogated.
Not if we abrogate properly, right?
Abrogate properly and then launch the shuttle. That's how this is done.
See, now at this point, we're just inserting abrogate into sentences randomly just to see if we're like, if we like land on something. It's like throwing.
Just throwing against the wall to see what sticks. See what
sticks. Yep.
To see what abrogates.
But it worked. Like, the thing is that it's actually very versatile that way. And it kind of,
Is it too early to ask what it is?
It's never too early.
Like, it's too early to get the answer. It's not too early to ask.
If you don't know anything about the show, like, there's no real format or rhyme or reason.
The suggested format.
Suggested.
Yeah.
So it means to bask in the sun.
Oh.
So we could have accidentally landed on it.
Totally. Yeah. Very much so.
If we just kept doing it. I don't think that bask in the sun is a thing that we specifically hit, although many of the discussions about abrogating and if we abrogate properly could have referred to basking in the sun. So
I love basking in the sun.
It's like a very cat-like word to me, where I just picture like a sunbeam and a cat in the sunbeam abrogating.
Abrogating wildly.
So good luck in integrating it somehow into day-to-day.
Oh man, it's so there.
You just have to find a good sunbeam and the work is done for you. What are you doing over there lying on the carpet? I'm abrogating.
Shh, leave me be. I must abrogate in peace.
Exactly. I don't know. That's also basking. It just sounds so joyful. You're not just like sitting.
Right.
Yeah, although to be fair, basking sounds better than abrogating.
No, maybe.
I don't know. I feel like genres are another topic we hit a lot. I feel like abrogation would be the next level down, right? Like, you can bask in many things. You can bask in the wonder of the Dyson sphere or whatever, right? But basking in the sun, like, abrogation is, it's neat. I like this. Good word. Good word.
I thought I'd try to bring something to the table we could integrate. Bring it back. Like, I don't feel like people are using it in their vocabulary.
Although I have learned things from this show.
I have too, which is,
Don't sound so surprised, everybody.
It wasn't a goal when we set out to do the show to like learn things.
Education.
Yeah, that was not a thing that I thought was going to happen. So it is somewhat surprising.
No, I was really here for more disagreements and arguments. not arguments. I was here for more contrariness.
Yeah, and I think what we've learned is that it's just not in our nature to be disagreeable.
No, it is, but you just you disagree and you shut it down. There's less back and forth.
Although, I think this
I don't
is
know, really there's back and forth.
Gary's walking back and forth right now.
Well, now you're agreeing on the fact that there's back and forth.
Yeah, we're really bad at this.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
That's not an argument. Yes, it is. No, it isn't. Yes, it is.
Does a successful podcast need an antagonist?
No. Well, I guess it depends on the plot of the podcast, which there is not.
Oh, let's start there. That would probably be the first step. Let's get a plot.
There needs to be a narrative with like a beginning, middle, end.
We talked about drowning last episode. Is that right?
Probably.
And then Chris found that YouTube video of that flotation device company in French.
Yeah.
Did that make the show notes by chance?
Yeah.
Oh, that I started that video and I couldn't.
I couldn't either.
I didn't get to the part where he wasn't coming up for air.
Yeah. It's so effective, that video.
I'm sure it must have been a flash thing looking at it. But when I played it years ago, the way it was presented, I was actually at work and it was just so engaging. Like sitting at my desk, gasping, and it was effective. We need more public service announcements like that.
I don't know that we do.
I don't know. It's very fear-based unless I don't know. I'd like to be motivated, but I don't know if I like that sense of dread.
In this case, I feel like this is appropriate fear. You're on a boat. You're in the middle of nowhere. Wear your life preserver, right? That's effective. The alternative is don't you like living? You should wear a life preserver.
Not quite
as effective.
But I feel like it a sense of fear of abandonment as well, where even if I have the life preserver, that boat just, they just took off. They're not even...
You could see, though, he tried to turn, but in the waves and the wind like that, you just can't, you lose someone so quickly. Oh, what a terrible topic. Golly, I'm sorry I asked.
So if you've learned anything, if you haven't watched that video in the show notes from last week, you can choose to not click.
Ooh, yeah. I feel like I'm a generally strong swimmer. I would be the person that definitely wears the life jacket, no questions asked. And yet I still was now boats are this is just in the back of my head.
I definitely feel like I learned my lesson last time. I was wearing my life vest the entire time that I was on up at the lake this last week, and not just I've got it on, but it's not buckled or anything. It's cool. No, I was just we're doing this. Question. It's definitely not going behind me because that's not cool.
You're we're going for a drive to the grocery store, but you don't need the vest.
I need to wear the vest. I'm going to wear the vest anyway.
I think I do need the vest.
Crossing a bridge. There's water. May end up in the water.
Yep.
Well, I'm sorry I did that to you.
Well, to be fair, falling in did contribute to that as well.
It was really the kayak's fault.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It was the kayak.
Sorry the kayak treated you that way.
Yes. We do have questions. We've got
some. Oh, boy, do we.
Good. Yeah. And they're pretty awesome questions. So we'll get to Fakey's question first, because as we know, Fakey McFakerson, I listen all the time at binaryjazz.club. See, that sounds like our fan club, which also makes me think that we should have binaryjazzforever.club. I don't know what our fan club would do. Maybe it's up to our fan club to decide.
Yeah, maybe is it too dirty to be they should take some initiative and figure it out?
I feel like they need some support from us to get off the ground at least.
Yeah, sure.
When you say they, do you just mean me?
I don't know. What's you and Fakey?
Me and Fakey.
You and Fakey, and there's a couple regular submitters to our questions.
And they are all welcome to join our Slack.
Yeah.
It's true. Join us on Slack. We'd love to have you.
Yeah.
A lot of times we talk nonsense all week.
You can ask questions live.
Sometimes we complain about what a crazy week it's been. And then we get to decompress on an episode like this. Yeah. We get to apprecate in each other's presence.
Yeah, so if you want to know how to get to our Slack, you can go to binaryjazz.us. And there's a button.
No, this is the part where they need to take some initiative. Google it.
If you can't find your way there, you're like, no, if you have to ask, then.
No, just ping us on Twitter. We'll help you out.
At Binary Jazz.
I say it so confidently, I'm so responsive on Twitter. I've gotten bad at Twitter.
You're responsive when you are mooning.
Mooning
and don't ever time.
That's what started it. It was you, I think you mooned me. And then
I mooned you on Twitter, several times.
And then we had the conversation about explosions in the sky.
That sounds about right.
anyway.
Pandora, who uses that anymore?
Not me anymore. Learn my lesson.
Fakey asks, Allison's question about the Lazy Susan for your house is a cool idea. This would be an interesting design problem to solve for places that have basements. That was not a thing that we covered, so that's true. If it was rotating and had a basement, how would you get into the basement? Maybe in the basement, maybe then the basement could be a secret hideaway that is only accessed when the house / basement stairs are aligned. No, there's just, it's all, there's no ceiling in the basement, and there's the
rings along the edge so you can climb down.
The trap door, and there's no stairs at all. You just drop in.
Or this seems like a simple solution to, like, if you just have a stairway coming inward to the basement from every direction, it's a circle, then the trap door can be anywhere, and you open it, you're at the top of the stairs, and down you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, I'm in Florida. What's a basement?
Well, I was going to say, like, in Betrayal at House on the Hill, which is a game that we got recently, you're traveling through this haunted house, whatever, and you keep adding tiles to the house, and there is a basement level, but as far as I can tell, we've played it like 3 or 4 times. I don't know if there's a way to get into the basement that doesn't involve falling.
That seems effective, though.
Yeah, it does. It is effective for getting to the basement. I don't know that there's any way of getting out of the basement. There's a magic elevator that occasionally can possibly get to the basement, but other than that, I don't know if there's a way to get out of the basement once you're in there. So it's that's fun. That's also a way that you can get into your basement. That wasn't the question, though. But
I tell you an interesting basement story before we have a question?
Sure.
So there's this restaurant in town. Called Goozle Pipe and Gutty Works.
Calls the basement.
It's a steampunk kind of place, right? Mm. It's fantastic, like pennies all over the walls, and it's very cool, very neat place.
I don't know.
But it has a basement.
I don't know what pennies are. We don't have them here.
Oh, yes. So pennies are small pieces of copper that are worth 1/100th of a dollar.
Seems silly.
So it would be insincere for me to say that they're valueless because they're worth 1/100th of a dollar. But they're pretty valueless. And I think that there's like, I think that it's 15 grand worth of pennies on the wall of this place, but I may be wrong.
Probably not.
And you wouldn't, no, it's huge. I mean, it's 2 floors and a basement. And that number, I mean, that would only be like 1.5 million pennies, right? I did the math right on the fly here. In any case, this place has a basement. And it's a Belgian brewery with like, religious artwork on the walls and the windows, but you're in the basement and you're like below sea level when you're down there. So it constantly has a pump, and it's bizarre. When it's being built, like driving past with people, I'd be like, what kind of moron builds a basement in this area of Jacksonville? And the place is fantastic. The owner did a heck of a job with that part of things.
And what's it called again?
Goozle Pipe and Gutty Works.
Okay. I like it already.
Yeah, it's a trip. It's a trip.
So Fakey's actual question, after discussing the basement and the design
pennies
problem of your rotating house that we discussed previously, is if you had a secret room in your houses, speaking of all of us, what would you use your secret room for? Obviously, that's where I would store the bodies.
I would use it for an office because I don't have an office.
I have an office. I'm in an office, so I don't need an office.
Definitely like a library. Definitely have like bookshelves.
Oh,
and like,
yeah. Secret library.
Yeah. Like there would be some sort of toggling.
It would be like, this house is so normal and there's a secret room over here. What could possibly be in this? Oh, it's a library.
Clearly
my uncle. Reading book. My uncle used to own a bed and breakfast in, I don't know what city, not too far from here, a couple hours from here in Florida. Now he lives back in the UK again. But for like a decade, he was down there. And in the library, there was a secret bathroom behind one of the bookshelves.
A secret bathroom? That's upping.
Yeah, so there was like,
entirely.
There was a little knickknack you pulled and the shelf opened and you went in there and closed it behind you. And you were in the bathroom. It was, I think it would have been better if it was something besides a bathroom behind there, but it was still pretty cool.
Secret, I don't know, secret anythings. That's just always really exciting to me.
Yeah.
I do like the idea. I like the idea of going into like a basement and not being able, oddly enough, not being able to get out until a certain time has passed, and it's like rotated, and then, because then nobody can bother you as well, I guess is the thing.
Ah, yes, the introvert's dilemma.
It's like, do not disturb for your life.
Yeah, I don't like the idea of being stuck, but maybe if you knew a way out, but no one, I don't know. There's got to be a solution there.
Well, the secret room then does sort of fill that niche. Yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, she's probably in there reading, but we can't really figure it out. The Alice and Tar story.
Yeah. I would actually leave it empty. I think that'd be creepier.
The room?
You find a secret room, you open it, and you're like, it's just empty, but like spotless, like no cobwebs, like frequently used, clearly, but totally empty. What or happens like in this place?
Any sort
or
of
empty except for like a single locked
candle,
lock box or something. Like just one thing in the room is that
a lock box that clearly requires like two keys to open.
Yeah. But doesn't have anything in it at all.
Yeah. 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 Bolted
so
to the floor.
If you manage to find the two keys and open it, then you open it, it's like, but there's nothing in it. Who took
Oh, and you would hook the door to the box in, so you open the box, the door to the room would slam behind you.
Okay, well, we're clearly
what the hell is going on?
We're clearly in the market for designing some sort of murder mystery house because
visit us at binaryjazzforever.club to this.
We'd love to hang out with you in person. And probably not kill you.
Don't be shy about approaching us in public.
Yeah, sneak up behind us. We totally love that. No one will panic and stab you to death.
Nope, never.
Okay, so Danette also emailed, frequent listener and submitter of questions. And she says that she didn't get to hear, she has a two-part question. Maybe we'll only get to one part. She says she didn't get to hear Allison's answer to the question about ties. What is your relationship, Allison? What is your relationship history with ties? Do you own them? Do you own any now? Wear them? Like them?
Oh, geez. Whew. I used to wear ties because I used to be super into, I don't know, like ska and like that whole Southern California in the 90s scene. Yeah, I'm like, I think that says enough. I haven't worn a tie in ages, probably since maybe my retail days where I was, I also had to wear ties when I worked at Disneyland, of various fancy sorts.
How did I not know you worked at Disneyland?
Yeah.
I knew Allison worked at Disneyland.
One of my first major jobs.
I feel like that's, I mean, if you live in Southern California, eventually you're going to get a job at Disneyland.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's first job.
Yeah, I loved it. I love Disneyland still. I'm still one of those people. If I lived there, I might even have an annual pass. I was, to clarify, my job at Disneyland was merchandise hostess. So I worked retail at a theme park is basically what that means.
So you would seat the merchandise, got it.
Yeah.
You weren't an Imagineer.
I was not an Imagineer. I was not a face character.
Aren't we all Imagineers?
No.
I mean, deep down I am, I feel like. But
It's a specific job title. We're not all Imagineers.
No.
I think we are at heart.
At heart.
No.
Disney says
it's,
no.
Or it's a trademark Disney we're not allowed no. to be. Sorry, your heart has been served. See you in court.
Go ahead.
What's the second part of the question?
Second part is unrelated.
You can't leave Danette hanging.
Danette says she laughs every time she hears Dyson Sphere. It sounds like a novelty food item worthy of being introduced into the turducken. If it was, what would the new name possibilities be? See, I feel like the turducken goes inside the Dyson Sphere.
I agree.
And then it's a Dyson turducken.
Yeah.
Or
turducken sphere.
Or turducken sphere. Yeah, turducken sphere.
Because I think the Dyson sphere is the thing about taking the energy from all the solar.
Do we really have to end on this note?
It needs to take the energy.
You're the one
from
that wanted to hear the second part of the Ned's question. So
I regret my decision.
It really does.
Give the listeners what they want.
It's true. Give them what they
do
want.
Do the listeners want a Dyson Sphere?
Apparently so. We get questions about Dyson Spheres. We are talking about Dyson Spheres.
It absorbs the energy of the Chidukan and radiates it more outward.
But don't we all?
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.